your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for this new year, Lord God, this new day of the new year. We thank you for this first Sunday. And we know, God, you have been faithful to us. And so we are again depending on you, Lord God, and trusting in you to be faithful to us in 2019. As the song said, we have our trust in you, for we believe. We believe, Lord God, that you are God and that you care for us. You loved us so much, you would send Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. And Holy God, as we go forth, journey with us, walk with us, be with us, hold our hands, God. And when we go over the rocky parts of life and the valleys, Lord, when we're in the shadows, God, we pray that you will be with us by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you in our lives this day. We invite you in our midst. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and be among your people. Be with us. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so we give God thanks for this day. And my sermon title today is Only by Grace Alone. Only by Grace Alone. And I had chosen this sermon title thinking of, you know, the grace of God and what God has done for us, and that it's by God's grace and grace alone why all of this has happened. Christmas has happened and Christ coming into the world. And then I got this article. I got an article from, I think Madison sent us a little article on grace, and I already had had my little sermon title, and I thought, I'm going to share this article on grace, because it was well written, and it's one of the things that I'm always rejoicing in and try to impress upon all of us, that it's by grace and grace alone why the goodness of God is upon us, not because we're good, but because of his grace. And this article is the uncommon power of grace. And it's an opinion writer in one of those magazines, might have been the New Yorker. And it says, and I'll just give you a little part of it, just so you could, I lay the foundation. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey describes a conference on comparative religions. That means different religions that you could compare. Religions where experts from around the world debated which belief, if any, was unique to the Christian faith. C.S. Lewis happened to enter the room during the discussion. And when he was told that the topic was Christianity's unique contribution among world religions, Lewis responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." And so the writer says, Lewis is right. No other religion places grace at its theological center. No other religion places grace at its theological center, but for Christianity. It was a revolutionary idea. As Mr. Yancey puts it, grace seems to go against every instinct of humanity. We are naturally drawn to covenants and karma, to cause and effect, to earning what we receive. Grace is different. See, we as Christians, we are not people of karma or things like that. We are, certainly as Methodists, we are people of grace. All Christians should be, but John Wesley, our founder, was big on grace. Grace and grace alone. The article continued, "It is the unmerited favor of God, unconditional love given to the undeserving." It's a difficult concept to understand because it isn't entirely rational. Grace defies reason and logic. There's a radical equality at the core of grace. None of us are deserving of God's grace, so it's not dependent on social status, wealth, or intelligence. There's equality between kings and peasants, the prominent and the unheralded, rule followers and rule breakers. So therefore, there's grace for all of us, no matter what level we are. Grace does not, you know, have layers and classes and status. If you find yourself in the company of people whose hearts have been captured by grace, count yourself lucky. They love us despite our messy lives. Stay connected to us through our struggles, always holding out the hope of redemption. When relationships are broken, it's grace that causes people not to give up, to extend the invitation to reconnect, to work through misunderstandings with sensitivity and transparency. Of course, grace can easily be exploited by people who don't want to be held accountable for their misdeeds. Right? So the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer referred to this as a German. He was martyred for the gospel. He referred to this as cheap grace. Grace isn't cheap, you see, friends. Nor is it easy to balance grace with the requirements of justice. We obviously can't organize society entirely around the concept of grace. Yet the problem today is more the absence of grace than its presence. The odds are that you know people who have had scars of ungrace inflicted upon them by the Christian church. Yet when we see grace in action, whether in acts of extravagant, indiscriminate love, in radical self-giving, or in showing equanimity in the face of debt, it can move us unlike anything else. Grace. Apostle Paul had a full grasp of grace, of God's grace, of God's unrelenting grace for him, God's grace for us. Thus Paul speaks about this in his ministry to the Gentiles. Paul would say, this is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of the Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you. And so Paul is going to begin here by saying, it is because of God's grace that we who are Gentiles have been invited in. We who are Gentile believers have been invited in by God's grace. Only by God's grace. But before we get to Paul, before we get to look at Paul's reading from Paul today, from Ephesians, let us get back to the story of the Epiphany today. Because this is Epiphany Sunday. The manifestation of Christ in the world before his baptism. And I want to share with you that this is all about grace. God's grace. God is so determined to proclaim the good news of great joy for all people that God reaches beyond fields in the region around Bethlehem to the east. God could have just stopped in Jerusalem, couldn't God? But God intended for everyone to know about Christ, God's grace. His plan, the plan of God. God reaches beyond the shepherds at the bottom of the barrel to the wise ones at the top. God is going to start with the shepherds. They're going to hear about Jesus' birth. The angels are going to tell them first. And then God is going to take it to the very top. You know, the wise men were like scientists, so to speak. They were astrologists, right, of their time. They read the stars. They were not necessarily Christians, you know, or believers, or I should say Jews, because we're not talking about Christians in the Gospels. But they were not necessarily children of Israel following Jesus. But they studied religions and astrology. Yet God would use them. Because God will use anyone or anything when God is unfolding his grace for humanity. Amen. Nothing can stop God. God's grace was that you and me, Gentile believers, would know of the love of Jesus Christ. So he would use the very wise men. That means they were not idiots. They were called wise men, the magi, right? And they were reading the stars, and they would see that star that was different. That particular star, and they must have heard a story that these folks are waiting for the Messiah to come. And they would follow the star. God reaches beyond people's sacred weakness by God's glory to those who observe the glorious star. All along the way, God directs them, first by star, from the Micah, and finally in their dreams. God would even speak to them in their dreams through God's grace. Do you see how God's grace is working? And then Herod had a plan. Herod was the mastermind in a plan to stop God's grace. Wasn't Herod? Right? He heard that this Messiah had come, this new king that was going to take his place. So to speak, he was worried. But he did not know that God's grace is relentless. When God put grace upon us, there is no stopping God. And so Herod couldn't stop God. More ironic, God used these scientists who practice other religions to let King Herod and the chief priests and the scribes of the people in the news to get the news that the Messiah had been born. It is an amazing grace, you know. And that's why we're living under this amazing grace. There is no sin that we can commit that God's grace will not forgive. Do you know that? Nothing we can do that God's amazing grace. People who don't want it can't do anything about it. God's grace extended to humanity. So this story of the Magi is greater than them just bringing gifts. It's not about just bringing gifts. And some of the Orthodox churches, they think it was 12 wise men. So we only see three. It doesn't matter. It's not the gift given that this story is about. It is exactly what C.S. Lewis said as he entered that room in that story. Christianity is about God's grace. No other religion speaks about grace the way we do. That God's grace cannot be earned. We cannot work for God's grace. Do you know you can't work for God? If anybody tells you that you should start working for God's grace, they're ripping you off. Because God's grace is what? It's controlled by God. Alright? And so, God's grace, this will make the story unfold. God announces the birth of the Messiah to the shepherds and through the angels on Christmas. And then to the Magi via a star on Epiphany. And to the political and religious authorities. God wanted everyone to know. He went from the manger where a child, you know, was wrapped in swaddling bands. God's grace reached beyond that. God's embrace in Christ Jesus gets bigger and bigger and bigger so that all the world would know God's grace. That's why John would say, for God so loved the world. That the grace is for everyone, for the people I like, for the people I don't like. And there's nobody I don't like. I love everybody. But God's grace reaches class, color, creed, sex. God's grace is unlimitless. And that's good news for us this morning, this new year. That we have it, it's freely given to us, God's amazing grace. So, Christmas, the birth of Jesus, is about God's grace. The world was in sin. Folks were doing stuff and God says, I'm not going to use the old way. The old way is not working. The judges and the kings are not working. The prophets, it's not working. They beat up the prophets. They put up the prophets in jail. Everybody's under captivity. God's grace says, I've got a greater plan, which God had from the very beginning. A greater plan. And the greater plan is that I'm going to come in flesh. God in flesh, Emmanuel. I'm going to wrap myself up as a baby. And I'm going to come in human form so they could see that I'm going to hurt like they hurt. And I'm going to weep like they weep. And I'm going to love them and feed them and take care of them so they could see this is part of me that loves them so much. That's what it is. That's why Jesus came, so we could see him, touch him, feel him, God's grace. And then I'm going to lay down and die for them. Now we have time for that. It's going to be Easter when we start talking about that. But that's what God's grace does. So the Christmas story is about God's grace. John Wesley would say we have prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace, which means grace before we understand. Prevenient means grace before we get it. We don't even know it from the day we are born, there is grace. Grace to cover our sins. And when we accept it, when we are justified by faith, when we say yes to the Lord, there is grace covering us. And when we say, and when we sanctify, we all of us here are living through sanctification. Right? We should be living a sanctified life. We're covered by God's grace when we make mistakes. Now some of us, we don't want to live off cheap grace now. We don't want to keep doing the same sin over and over again and waste God's time. Anybody here living off cheap grace, raise your hand. I'm not looking. Did I see anybody raise? Right? Because God's grace cost him something, didn't it? Cost him what was amazing. Cost him his life for us. Yet still, it is the mystery of God's grace. So this new year, we are holding on to God's grace. Because we can't stop it. So Paul knew that. Paul knew that the Magi didn't quite understand. They were just scientists, astrologers looking at stars. Following the stars. They really weren't looking for Jesus Christ as a savior. You know, let's not get confused with that story. The three wise men, the Magi, were not looking for Jesus Christ as Savior. They were not Jewish believers. They were astrologers who were looking at this particular star and seeing where it would lead, right? To this thing, the Messiah. And when they saw it, they knew this was something different. They would worship him. And part of the culture was that you would bring a gift, wouldn't you? They would worship him. But for us, it was more than the gifts. That he would be born to die. And Paul understood that. Paul says, now friends, let me just bring this home and tell you. When Jesus was born, in essence, he was born for the Jewish people. Right? They were waiting for the Messiah. Right? They had been waiting. We were not waiting for the Messiah because we didn't know anything. We were Gentiles. They were waiting for the Messiah. That's what Paul is trying to say. This mystery. They were waiting, so the Messiah came for that. But Paul's ministry was a what? A ministry to the Gentiles. And so Paul is saying it is by God's grace, he says, and now... And how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I wrote above in a few words. A reading for which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ in former generations. This mystery was not made known. So the mystery of Christ was that the prophets didn't know it. The kings didn't know it. But Paul would know it because God would call Paul to minister to the Gentiles. So that we too, we who are Gentiles, will become hearers of this great inheritance. We too would be able to accept Jesus Christ to our Lord, as our Lord and Savior, to Apostle Paul. So God's plan was to open up the whole thing. It's as if grace was just seeping through bit by bit till it bust open and God said, everybody has a right to come in. Everybody has a right to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Everybody, each and every one of us, no matter what our class is, no matter what our status is, no matter how much education we have, no matter what our color, no matter what anything, sex, male or female, it doesn't matter. We all have a right by God's grace to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Grace, amazing grace. Isn't it amazing that you can't stop me, Linda, from accepting Christ? It's not amazing. And I can't stop you, Joni, from accepting Christ. Because God's grace is amazing grace. Opens that up for us. So Paul wanted them to know that no one, it is all by God's grace. We cannot control it. See, God's grace takes in the whole world. The scale of the story does not fit into one little house. There's no room big enough to hold God's grace. It takes in the whole world. Isn't that amazing? The whole entire world, every human being, God's grace. To be sure, the Gentiles are an unlikely group for God to be included in the inheritance. Because traditionally, the Gentiles were those who worshipped other gods. They were not devotees of the God of Israel. But all people, Jews and Gentiles, have the same need of grace. No one has an inborn right to be an heir of God's grace. All people have a right to get God's grace. So when we go into the new year, as we have begun, let us rejoice in God's grace. God's unmerited favor. Unearned. Cannot earn it. Can't pay any money to get it. There is no money enough to get God's grace. It is unmerited. Grace alone, the cornerstone. That's why we are grace-filled people. The songwriter would say, as he talks about grace, he would go on, there is a little song in our hymnal, which I don't have now, but in the black hymnal, and it's called Grace Alone. It says, every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we can make is only by His grace. Every mountain we climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace. Grace alone which God supplies. Strength unknown He will provide. Grace in us, our cornerstone, we'll go forth in grace alone. By God's grace. Whatever we face this year, friends, whatever ahead of us, we will overcome it or live through it because of God's grace. The only way. Because His grace is going to extend the strength, give us the strength, give us the courage, forgive us where we fall short. God's grace. And we just have to accept it freely. Grace alone. This is the uniqueness of our religion. A religion that put no price on anything for us. Because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. So that we can be covered by grace. Amen. Amen. We are covered by grace. Isn't that amazing? As you go through 2019, just keep thinking that. Oh, I'm just covered by God's grace. I'm covered by His grace. I'm covered by His grace. Because He loves us so much. I am covered by His grace. What would we do without God's grace? Amen. Thank God for His grace. Amen.